chapter number 14. We're going to take our reading here, beginning in verse number 1. We're going to do something that we very seldom ever do. That is, we're going to go back to a message, to a thought that we preached a couple of years ago on a Sunday evening and bring it before you once again. Whenever a preacher does that, it is not out of a lack of things to find to preach. It's not out of a lack of creativity or lack of time. And it's not even just the desire to preach the same message again. If you've ever heard a man preach from the same passage or even from the same notes, you know that it's never the same. And we bring that to your attention this morning so that you might make the connection. It would actually bless me very much if you remembered it from a couple years ago. Let us read here beginning in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 14. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded, by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half, on the other side Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath-Rabbah, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest for more. 4 words we want to draw to your attention this morning to begin. Courageous, committed, confident, and a conqueror. When we think of Caleb as he is presented from this passage of Scripture, these are all words that describe who he is and what he was, the things that he was able to do and to accomplish. These are all words and attributes and characteristics that we should all aspire to have applied to us as well. We often think we don't have much in common with these Bible characters. We often think that they're superhuman in some way and are able to do things that we simply cannot do. That they had some advantage in them or given to them, that they had something that we simply can't lay hold of that they had that made them greater and better than we could ever possibly be. They seem like giants of the faith, superhuman. What we lose sight of is that the characters of the Bible are just mere men and women. Men and women that we actually have a whole lot in common with. Men and women that we can identify with a whole lot. Who can't identify with Peter sticking his foot in his mouth? Of course we can. Who can't identify with those that got off track? Maybe not to the degree that David did. Maybe we haven't committed the sins that he did. But what did he do? He put his eyes on the wrong thing. We all can relate to that. We all can understand that. And here, we have something in common with Caleb. And it's not immediately those four words that we began with, courageous, confident, conqueror, and committed, or being committed. But it comes in the form of a question, and I'll put it like this. In light of this passage, in light of Caleb, in light of what he has to say here, does life ever just seem hard? Does the day-to-day grind of moving through this life ever just seem difficult to bear? Does it ever seem like it is too much? Does this life ever seem to be unbearable? Not just the storms that come along. We all know that they're hard and they stay upon us sometimes for a great length of time. They are definitely hard. And when we're in the midst of storm and trial, we understand that life is difficult. We can identify with that. We can read in Scripture about those men that went out and rowed across the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee, trying to make the other side, but because of the storm, they could not. Their life was hard because of the storm. Our life many times is hard because of the storms that we have to endure and that we face. Our life is difficult beyond what we think is reasonable sometimes or what we think it should be. After all, many of us gathered this morning are saved children of God, and because we are, we often assume and think that if life is hard, then something is wrong. The storms of life can put us in a great difficulty and make life very hard. Seasons of life also bring difficulty with them as they come and go and move through our life. Those are certainly things we can identify with. But beyond that, what about just the everyday? The everyday facts of life, the everyday grind of raising children, the everyday grind of going to work and living a testimony before your workmates, the everyday grind of being a faithful husband or a faithful wife, of being a committed church member or pastor, of living for the Lord in this dark and sinful world. Life can be and is often very difficult. And these struggles that we've already mentioned this morning, I think we can all agree to say that life is hard. Which is why we've spent so much time in recent weeks lifting up our heads. And that's what we should be doing. Looking up, lifting up our heads, rejoicing in the coming of the Lord. But that does not immediately change our day-to-day experience. Though we lift up our heads and focus on the right things, we still have to endure the hardships of life. We still have to go through those difficult moments. This hardness really is not just from time to time, but every day. We all like things easy. I like things to be easy. I like it when, you know, I'm sitting in my chair and the kids are mowing the grass and taking care of all that. That's wonderful. That's great. Easy is good. We like it when dinner comes together easy fashion by picking up the phone and ordering a pizza, perhaps. We like things to be easy. That's our natural disposition. We like things to flow along comfortably and easily. But as we often find, each day we are confronted with hardships. We are confronted with obstacles. We are confronted with things that we think perhaps should be a different way. And when that happens, this hardness, this difficulty, it can push us to quit. It can push us to quit on life. It can push us to quit on the Lord. Didn't Jonah do that? For him, it was too hard for him to go to Nineveh, so he quit for a time. It can push us to quit in our families when it's too hard. When we fought the same battles with our kids for years, and we've tried striving very hard to be faithful to one another, it can be hard. Difficult. That difficulty make us want to quit. It can make us want to quit on our church. But here's another question this morning that I want to ask you. And think about this question very seriously. Is it supposed to be easy? And think about that. Is it supposed to be easy? As we serve God in this fallen, sinful world, is it supposed to be easy? Is living for the Lord, serving the Lord, being faithful church members, raising God the kids, being faithful spouses, is that supposed to be easy? I'm not saying it's not achievable. I'm not saying that it's not something that we can do. I'm just saying that it's really, really not supposed to be easy. We have the perception that it is supposed to be easy. And because it's hard, we think oftentimes something must be wrong. I fought this battle yesterday. Why do I have to fight it again? We had this argument last week. Why do we have to talk about this again? This came up or that situation. And we find ourselves thinking, it shouldn't be this hard. Let's just quit. Let's just stop. The reality is that it is not easy. If comfort and ease is our goal and desire for life, and how many of us would raise our hands and say it is? Let's be honest. If comfort and ease is the desire for our life, then Christ, the Word of God, and His church is not our aim. It's not. And here's where we have something in common with Caleb. In this passage of Scripture, what we have transpiring is the promised land being divided. They went in and had conquered the majority of it. They had rest from the wars. And at this time, God had directed Joshua and the leaders of Israel to divide it among the tribes. We see some explanation here of why Ephraim and Manasseh received their spots, why the Levites did not. All of those things. But the bottom line is the promised land is being divided up by tribe. They are being divided up and given their plots of land where they would reside, their inheritance, as it was promised them. And we begin to read in verse number 6 that it came time for Judah to come and receive what God had promised them, what they had inherited. And the focus gets put upon Caleb. Caleb at this time was probably the most prominent among the citizens of Judah. And that is because he was the oldest. I can guarantee you that. But also, certainly a leader throughout these last 45 years. He was a man that was looked to, a man that was respected. So it seems as if he comes here first to begin talking to Joshua. And as he talks to Joshua, he recounts his life. And here's what we have in common with Caleb that you might overlook. Caleb had a hard life. Caleb had a difficult life. Caleb had a life that we would, none of us, say we want. Because we like things comfortable and easy. But that didn't happen so much for Caleb in his life. Caleb was not interested in taking the easy way out to be comfortable and at ease the rest of his life. Caleb desired something above all else, and that was to simply please God and to do His will. We notice here as he talks to Joshua, in verse number 7, says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Do we remember what transpired and what he's talking about here? They came to the southern edge of the promised land. The Lord said unto Moses, separate me out 12 men, one from each tribe, that would go into the land and do reconnaissance and to see what is there. He sends the 12 in. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 14. And this is where we begin to see a glimpse of Caleb's character, that he wasn't interested in what was easy. He wasn't interested in simply what would make him comfortable or what would make his life go along a little bit smoother or a little bit easier. But we notice here in Numbers chapter number 14, Numbers chapter number 14, verse number 6, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. You see here Joshua and Caleb. They returned, as we know, with a different report than the other spies, the other ten. The other ten said, we can't do it. We're but grasshoppers in their sights. We'll be just fodder to them. We cannot take the land. But Caleb here, along with Joshua, says that's not true. He says, we are well able. We can do it. Let's take the land. God be with us. They are bread to us. Their defenses are down. Why? Because God has said to do it. Let's do it. And by him standing up and delivering what was in his heart, Caleb's life got harder. Immediately his life got harder. But he could not do anything but that which God had put in his heart. See here that they said, let's kill him. Let's kill the dissenters. Let's stay out of the land. And we know how this unfolds further. But it would have been easy for Caleb to just throw in with the other ten. Leave Joshua by himself and say that, it's okay. You know, we don't need to go in. We can't do it. Would have made his life a whole lot easier. But he didn't. He was faithful. If you look back to Joshua 14, you notice in verse number 8, it says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God, no matter if it was easy or if it was hard. That's what he did. There were no promises to Caleb that life was going to be easy. You know what? There's no promises for us today that life will be easy. None at all. There's no promises to us that numbers will increase, bank accounts will get better, that life will generally improve in every direction that we want, just because we are serving the Lord. We are not promised those things. But Caleb said, this is what is in my heart, this is what God has said, and this is what I will do. And he did. And so they bade stone him with stones. He was not the most popular within Israel. But then notice, if you turn back to Numbers 14, if you notice down in verse number 23, thinking about the hardship that Caleb faced, Israel not responding to him, wanting to stone him, and then, of course, the conversation working out as it does, they don't go in. The 10 spies get their way. We notice here in verse number 23. Let's read verse 22. It says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them provoke me see it, or that provoked me see it. He's telling them here that all of those that had came out of Egypt and had seen the miracles of God would never make it to the promised land. They would die. Is Caleb's life getting any easier? Is it getting any more comfortable? No. We notice over in verse number 34, after the number of the days in which he searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. He tells him here that the way that he is going to take the people is through the wilderness. They will wander without purpose, without home, without settlement. And we find out in this passage that all those 20 years and older will die. At this time, that were 20 years and older will die in the wilderness. And for 40 years they will wander. Then notice in verse number 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, judgment has been brought upon Israel. Has Caleb's life got easier? No. In fact, now we see that Caleb's life even gets harder. 40 years he has to wander. 40 years seeing his brethren die, attending to their bodies and their funerals and all of those things, watching them die. During that time, he could have said, Lord, life isn't supposed to be this hard. I've been faithful. Just kill me now. I quit. He could have said, it is not in me to finish this. Let me die. I mean, think about it. Caleb's faithfulness earned him the ability to see the promised land. Yes. But it also meant the hardship going through the wilderness, and all that that meant. He could have quit on God. But yet, even though he had not done anything wrong, his life only got harder and harder. And that's what we have in common with Caleb. We don't have the promise that life gets easier. In fact, there are times when life gets harder. There are times when it only seems to increase or turn up, in the hardship. And it would have been easy for Caleb to agree with the other spies. It would have been easier for Caleb to quit, but he didn't. He wanders 40 years. And now go back with me to Joshua 14. And here's where we begin to hone in on Caleb's courage, his commitment, his being a conqueror. And we see his battle cry. As we just read in Numbers 14, verse 24, God made him a promise. He said, Caleb and his seed will see the land and he will possess it. And that promise drove Caleb for many years to come. And we notice here in verse number 10, that as they began to enter the promised land, Caleb, now 80 years old, he was 40 when they espied the land. 40 years they wandered. He's 80 years old in verse number 10 in his recounting here. He said, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. What I meant was, when they came into the land, he was 80 years old. He's telling Joshua this, and so we understand that for 5 years, after they entered the promised land, what did Caleb have to do? He had to fight. I believe he was a great leader under Joshua in the conquering of the promised land and the subduing of it. He went in and he fought. At 80 years old, he could have said, nope, too hard, I'm done. But life didn't get easier. In the battles that they fought, the miles that they marched, the things that they did, it wasn't an easy life. None of us would have desired it. He could have said he was too old to fight when they entered the land. And so he comes to this point where he's telling Joshua all these things. Comes to the time when the land is to be divided up. Now most of the promised land had been conquered, but not all the enemies had been put out. And it just so happens that the place that Caleb was promised by God through Moses had yet to be conquered. There were still enemies there. There were still people that had to be put out. There were still battles to fight. There were still cities to build. There were still things to do. And Caleb could have quit. But notice in verse number 12, he says, give me, therefore, this mountain. Therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. He says, give me this mountain. He says, I don't care that it's hard. This mountain is mine by inheritance. God has promised it me. Caleb could have decided to dwell in the plains. He could have implored Joshua and said, give me an easier settlement. Give me a city over here where it's already been defeated and then rebuilt and it is thriving today. Let me have that for my inheritance. For Caleb, anything, perhaps. But that's not what he did. He didn't say, let me retire in comfort and ease over here in the plains, over here where it's easy, over here where it's comfortable. No, at 85 years old, Caleb says, give me this mountain. Because he knew that's where God desired him to be. He says, give me this mountain. It's what I want because that's what God wants for me. I don't care that it's hard. I don't care that it's difficult. I don't care that it's going to take work in order to defeat the enemies and climb the mountain and settle the land. I don't care that it's hard. This is what God wants. That's what I want. Didn't matter to Joshua. Would have been easy for him to have a different land in some form or in some fashion. Would have been easier for him to act differently in this way. But Caleb says, give me this mountain. And that needs to be our battle cry today. Because there are many mountains in our lives. And many times we look at them and say, it's too hard. Climb that mountain. Give me something easier down here in the plains. Give me something easier over here where there's nothing to fight, where I can just relax and take it easy. But life is hard. And what we need to say instead of shrinking from the challenge is, give me this mountain. Therefore, give me this mountain. God has promised unto me. When we are tempted to quit because life is hard, we're tempted to opt out for something easier. We're tempted to look for something more convenient. We need to instead say, give me this mountain and do the work that's necessary to conquer and to do whatever is needed. We find that we're not looking for what is easy today, and you shouldn't be looking for what's easier. But rather, you should be looking for what's pleasing to God, and that's exactly what is driving Caleb here to say, give me this mountain. I want it more than anything. It may not have been the best. How are they going to grow certain crops? How are they going to provide for certain? It didn't matter. It was his. It's where God wanted it. In those 40 years, I can just imagine Caleb thinking about that place where he had spied out before. Thinking that God is going to bring that to me one day. And then when God brought it to the place where he was to have it, there were still battles to fight. Caleb didn't quit. He didn't give up. We're not to be looking for easy, but what's pleasing to God. And let me tell you, if you're looking for what's pleasing to God, your life will be made harder. As far as the daily living of things in this world is concerned. Harder because we're not trying to raise worldly kids. Harder because we're not trying to have worldly homes. Harder because we are trying not to have worldly relationships and marriages. Harder because we believe in come out from among them and be separate. We believe in being equally yoked. We believe in this word that is before us today. And that doesn't make our physical lives on this earth easier. It doesn't make it easier to interact with the world and to live among the world. We're not trying to be entertained, enlightened, educated by the world. And yes, all of that makes things hard. With all of these things, we, like Caleb, need to be sounding the battle cry and say, give me that mountain. I don't care that it's hard. I'll live above the fray of this world. I don't care that it's hard. I'll do whatever it takes to raise my kids and to love my wife as God has commanded me to and as He shows me and gives me the wisdom to. I will do that. I will face this storm of life that I am in, that I am battling, that I am facing with health or finances or whatever. Why? Because God has brought it into my life. He has seen fit to allow it to happen to me, and I will fight, I will sound the battle cry, and I will say, give me this mountain today. Tomorrow we'll get up and say the same thing. Let's not quit. Caleb was not concerned with what's easy. He never was in his life. And neither should we be. We should not be concerned with what is easy. As we said, at 85 years old, he's not looking to settle down and take it easy. He's looking to scale the mountain. He's looking to take on the enemy. He's looking to settle this land because it was his, given to him by God, saying, give me this mountain that he had been promised. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing it is to consider this statement. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. And we see Joshua giving it unto Caleb. And we see in verse 14, that it became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite, in the midst of Judah. And it's still with him to this day, as of the writing of Joshua. These things, it stayed in their family. What does that mean? It means that Caleb said, give me this mountain, and then he took it. He went after it. He didn't shrink from the challenge. He didn't shrink from the fight. He didn't say, life's not supposed to be this hard. He went and he did it. He was the better for it. His family was the better for it. Say his tribe, his nation probably was even the better for it. And so, what is it in your life today that is hard? There's something, no doubt, that sticks out in your mind right now. What's hard in your life today? What is it? A relationship? A work problem? A sin problem? Temptation? Just your current station of life? A storm, perhaps, that is raging against you? Something you never asked for, but still altogether received by the providence of God? What's hard today? Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's wrong. Just because it's hard doesn't mean that it isn't supposed to be. Gather the courage of Caleb. Gather the strength of Caleb and say, give me this mountain. I'm going to take it. I'm going to scale it. I'm going to settle it. I'm going to do all of these things. Whatever it is in your life, that's hard. See that Caleb never quit, neither should we. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure hardness. Life will be hard. We should not be looking for what's easy. If you're looking for what's easy, then look for a different church. Not saying we're hard to get along with, but If you're looking for easy, then look for a church that is interested in what man has to say. Look for a church that is interested in entertaining the flesh instead of feeding the soul. Look for a church that is interested in telling you about psychology instead of thus saith the Lord from the Word of God. That's easier on the flesh. That's dwelling in the plains. But I say, give me this mountain right here. Let us attain unto it. Let us go after it. As a church, I say, give us this mountain. Let us go forward, understanding that it's hard. It's hard to talk to somebody today. And they, of course, inevitably the question is, well, how many people do you have? And when you say anything less than 100 or 200 or 500 or 1,000, they just immediately, they're done. That's it. It's hard. It's not an easy road. There is no beauty, just as there was none in Christ, that should cause the world to desire. You don't see the beauty of the Lord's church until you've been exposed to her. And so, it's not easy. If you're looking for easy, you need to find something else. If you're looking for easy, then raise your family according to worldly standards. Just let them go. It's going to be heartbreaking and heart-wrenching in time to come. And it's going to not be the best for them. But if you want what's easy, then do that. But if you want what's hard, be your child's parent. Be your child's grandparent. Be a force in their life for good and for God. You know what? There's going to be times they don't like you. There are going to be times that they don't want to be around you. There's going to be times when they don't agree with you. There's going to be times when they question you. There's going to be times when they don't want to follow you. There's going to be times when they think they know better. And you know what? That's hard. But as far as I can see, trying to be a godly father, a godly mother, godly grandparents, a godly influence on the lives of our young people today isn't supposed to be easy. So I often tell my wife about not only this, but other things. If it was easy, everybody would be good at it. Everybody would be in line with the things of God and living accordingly. It's not easy. If we're looking for easy, then give up convictions and go the way of the world. Don't come to church on Sunday. Do what you want. Sleep in. Play games. Recreate. Take care of the house. Whatever it is. That's easier on the flesh, isn't it? I mean, to open up a whole nother day to schedule things and to have a normal, the flesh would like that. You want easier? Then keep your money and don't tithe. That's easier. See, we'd have more money to live on, we'd think, right? Of course, we know the Lord blesses for all of that. My point is that if we want easy, then we should just go the way of the world. But that's not what we want today, I pray. I hope we have the heart of Caleb. And with what's hard in our life, we don't quit, we don't shrink, we don't back down, we don't stop, we just say, okay, Lord, this is what you want for me, this is what you've got for me, I want this mountain, give it to me. I'm going to take it. Scaling the mountain. So often we want what's easy. We bemoan the hardships of life as if we measure what is right by what is easy. Now, with everything you know about the Word of God, does that mentality square with what the Bible teaches? It really doesn't. But yet that's what we think so often. We measure what is right by what is easy. But that's not the case. Ask Joseph as he was in Potiphar's house. Was it easy for him to flee and then be put in jail and stay there for a few years? No. But he said, give me this mountain. And he served God to the best of his ability. He didn't give up. Was it easy for Daniel to be facing the lion's den? No, it would have been easy for him to go along. But he chose not to. He took the hard way out. Our only measure should be what is right, what is God's will. Hard and easy really are defined by the flesh. Defined by the flesh. And oftentimes we think that what is hard is not worth it. I don't want to put in the work. I don't want to do it. We need to be like Caleb and desire what is hard. Following the will of God takes us to the mountains. It demands of us that we climb up them defeating the enemies and the obstacles to find the promises of God. What a blessing it is when we do so. The mountains of God are worth the struggle. I'm telling you today that the hardships of life are worth the fight. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Even if you can't see the end or know when things are going to get better, when things are going to change, even when you don't understand how long it's going to be, keep on fighting the hardships of life. Say, give me this mountain. Be committed and go forward and do it. The mountains of God are worth the struggle. They are worth the battle, the enemy clearing that we must do. And none of it's easy. With everything you have today, exclaim, give me that mountain that God has promised unto us. And we could take and use that mountain as a metaphor for so many things in life. You know, He's promised us an eternal home in heaven if we're saved by the grace of God. I say, give me that mountain. I don't want to dwell in the plains. I don't want to just have a little bit of God and of His blessings. I want it all. Let us scale that mountain. Let us take it on. It's hard. But it's worth every moment, every effort. It's worth everything. And I pray that in the fiber of your being, you desire to do like Caleb. And say, give me that mountain today. I pray that you are committed unto the battles of life, the hardships of life. And that you are willing to say, give me that mountain today. Are you willing to do that? Well, I pray that you are. Well, Pastor Brother Bill, you just...